Since day one that the Robert Mueller investigation into President Trump started, there has been conjecture and commentary, usually fueled by unreliable, unnamed sources, into what was happening within that investigation. My next guest today has eagerly and openly shared insight into the Mueller machine, which he could do since, well, he was directly pulled into it. His firsthand experience is told in his latest book, Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. His journalism over the years online and in a string of best-selling books has certainly brought truth and revelations to everyone. We say good day to Dr. Jerome Corsi. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine. Great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
CorsiNation.com is the good doctor's website to learn more about his insight into the Mueller aftermath and a lot more than that, and to find out more information about his book, Silent No More, as well. So talk about the way that you found out that Uncle Robert wanted you that day.
Well, it was two FBI agents who showed up unannounced at the front door. And, of course, the doorbell rang. We said, who's there? And they said, the FBI. Well, that's not exactly what you want to hear.
I know.
And so we opened the door, and we found out they had a subpoena for it, for me to come to the Mueller grand jury. And so that's how it began. I was before the Mueller. We decided to cooperate. I mean, you know, if I asked my attorney, could the FBI come in here and break down the door and take what they wanted, ransack the house? And my attorney said, yes, they get a search warrant and do that. So I said, let's go make it easy. Let's bring in my computers, my cell phone, my email accounts, let them have whatever they want, because I've done nothing wrong. And that's how it started.
And you, as you write in your book, too, you're a fairly tech-savvy individual. If you were not, how much of a different story would you be telling right now?
Well, probably a very different one. I mean, the whole point of their inquiry was they wanted to connect me to Julian Assange. And it turned out my testimony was very important to Mueller, because if I had a contact with Assange and shared it with Roger Stone, Roger Stone was in contact with candidate Trump, and they would have had their link for collusion, with Roger Stone supposedly being able to tell Assange when to make public these emails Assange had on John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, which were released in October 2016 as the October surprise. The problem is I never had a contact with Assange, and so I could not give Mueller what the FBI assured the prosecutors that I would have.
I think this is why your story is making the inevitable release of the Mueller report so interesting, because it seems like in your case, and I would fathom to assume that in many other cases, the investigators had the end to the story that they needed people to write the middle of, and that was what they were hoping for you to do in this case.
That's correct. I mean, it was the exact wrong way to do a investigation. The Mueller prosecutors were already convinced that Donald Trump had committed treason and was a Russian agent. Usually a criminal investigation begins with a crime. Here you had a murder case. They were ready to put the murderer in the electric chair, and in walks the supposed murder victim alive, where they really had a missing persons case. They didn't realize it. So I mean, that's what happened to Mueller. He had a predetermined case, but he couldn't prove that case, because it wasn't true. There was no Russian collusion.
How much are you allowed to be a human in cases like this? Because our memories have limitations. Someone like yourself, as an author and a journalist, you do hundreds of emails a day between receiving and sending. I mean, realistically, how is it possible to remember every single element of every single keystroke you've ever done? And what are the consequences if they catch you on something, or if you say, well, I can't recall that?
Well, you know, the problem is they do expect you to remember every single thing that you've done. I mean, I sit there and I have 40 hours of questioning, and what they have is a book of 8 inches thick. So I answer questions. I pull out tab 32, and they say, here's an email you wrote 2 years ago that contradicts what you just said. I said, well, why didn't you show me that email first? I mean, I came in here to cooperate, but I don't have a perfect memory of everything I did, everybody I spoke to, everything I said in 2016, which then was, 2 years earlier.
With Dr. Jerome Corsi, his new book, Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. CorsiNation.com is his website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. You detail a lot of the back and forths in the various hearings, grand jury, the meetings before the grand jury hearings. And reading this, I get to the point where at one point, one of the FBI agents basically says, okay, you take charge of this interview now. And that's not how you do it. That's not how you're supposed to run that business, is it?
No, I mean, you're supposed to be there to answer questions. And they're not supposed to give you an open-ended chance to, you know, fill in the story. And when I tried to do that, that's when I forgot a couple of emails. They're asking me, one of the issues was whether or not I had ever sent anyone to see Julian Assange in London. And I forgot an email from several that Roger Stone sent in July 2016 saying, basically, somebody needs to go to see Assange. I forwarded that email to Ted Malik, a good friend who's an academic in London. Now, Ted never did go to see Assange. It took me maybe, 20 seconds to forward that email. I forgot about it. And so I said, okay, obviously, now I had to amend the testimony. But then after 40 hours of this, when the FBI realized they weren't getting what they thought they were going to get, in other words, they'd searched everybody I'd met with in 2016, and they went to see most of them. They had unlimited resources, and there was no one that connected me to Assange. They said, okay, now we're going to prosecute you for lying to us. And they just couldn't believe. See, in 2016, in July and August, they had taken up our 25th wedding anniversary to Italy. We were on a family trip at the time, and I figured out that Assange had Podesta's emails. And I told that to Roger Stone and others. And, of course, the FBI didn't know it at the time, but the FBI was intercepting my telephone calls and my emails. And they were convinced I got this information from Assange. But it wasn't true. I just figured it out on my own. And Special Prosecutor never could believe that I was smart enough, or anyone could figure it out, as I did, exactly that Assange had Podesta's emails. They would release them in October. To me, it was really pretty much just a deduction from what Assange did already and had already said at that time.
I mean, obviously, we know now Roger Stone was certainly in their crosshairs because of everything that he's having to deal with right now. But the fact that they want to convict you for basically guilt by association, at the very worst, just shows how far-reaching these individuals wanted to go.
Well, and they gave me a plea deal to plead guilty to one count of the so-called lying to them for my first day's testimony when I had the memory mistake, not acknowledging that they allowed me to amend that testimony. And, they say otherwise you're going to be charged in Washington, D.C. with multiple counts of, conspiracy to deceive the committee, and you'll go to prison for 25 years. Well, I told Mueller's group, I said, look, first of all, I did not violate the law. I did not knowingly and willfully give them information I knew to be false to deceive them on a material matter. I had memory problems, so I refused to take their plea deal. And now that we have the Mueller report, it turns out they are not indicting me, which means that the only way I would have become a criminal or gone to prison was if they scared me so much I took a plea deal that the Mueller knew we couldn't prove in court.
Which is no doubt what they were counting on. Conjecture on your part, granted, but when we finally see whatever we see of the Mueller report, how big of a letdown versus the sell is it going to be, do you think?
Well, I think the MSNBC and CNN crowds that have been worked up into this frenzy expecting impeachment, they were let down by the summary from Barr. And I think that the next 2 days when they see the full report, they're going to be equally disappointed. And I can't imagine that Attorney General Barr did anything but do an accurate representation of what Mueller concluded.
I mean, how can you do anything else? Because the report's going to come out, so if your summary doesn't jive with the report, then you're putting yourself in the crosshairs of a whole bunch of people. And on a related note, because Adam Schiff has said many times, if the Mueller report doesn't give them what they want, they'll start it all over again. with all these committees threatening hearings, demanding unredacted reports. Do you have any concerns about that personally? Are you, do you think that, okay, here we go again?
Well, I've already been, we've gotten letters. My attorney's got letters from the House Judiciary and Senate Intelligence. And we've provided documents. I mean, they've not yet gone to subpoena me for testimony, but they're certainly threatening to do that. And, you know, I don't want to go through this whole exercise all over again. We're under oath. I've got to go another how many hours where they compare everything I say one to the other when I know my memory isn't perfect. I mean, it's a perjury trap. And truthfully, I've done nothing wrong.
And that's certainly what Dr. Corsi points out with his book, Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. As I said back in the introduction, it's been conjecture, unnamed sources. Here's the inside look, and the inside look by someone who was pulled inside into a lot of unfair treatment, a lot of trying to fill the middle in, thinking you had the ending of the story, and it just creates so many questions about what we are going to wind up seeing as far as looking back at the process that resulted in the Mueller report, if and when we ever see whatever degree we see it in. Learn more about Dr. Corsi's work, his insight into what is happening, not just in the aftermath of post-Mueller days, but other things that do matter, CorsiNation.com. Again, the book, Silent No More, How I Became a Political Prisoner of Mueller's Witch Hunt. Dr. Corsi, thanks so much for being here today.
My great pleasure. Thank you very much.